Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, four lines up before the end of the Amud Minani Mili. So we're talking about the halacha of Shnayim Shasua, and they both participated in the malacha, and they're both Pturim. And with the exception of Rabbi Meir, that's the Shita that we know of our Mishnah, Stam Mishnah. We also know it in the Braisa in the name of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa regarding the Chiyuv Chatas on an Aver B'Shogeg, darshaning a pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra, Basosa Achas Mimitzus Hashem Asher Lo Se'asena. And from the word Basosa, we're going to derive Ha'osa Es Kula V'lo Ha'osa Es Miktsasa. So if a person does an Aver B'Shogeg together with someone else, and neither of them did the entire Malacha B'Shlemus on their own, there's a Ptur Chatas. And that's the exclusion from the Pasuk Basosa. Now the Braisa gives a number of examples in different Malachos, and in certain cases, since a person did the entire Malacha B'Shlemus, he's going to be Chayev. If he did it together with his friend, then they'll be Potter. Ketzad. Shnayim shayu ochazin b'malgez v'logzin. So malgez is kind of like a pitchfork. It's a kli that has three teeth, and you use it to turn over the ground. And also you use it to gather together the tefuah. And that's a malach on Shabbos. We'll call it ma'amer. Vilogzin, and they gather together the shibolim of the various grains in the field. And they violate malachas ma'amer, which is one of the malachas of Shabbos. Or alternatively, they were holding on to a kirkar. And this is part of Meleches Ariga, and this is a piece of wood with a very sharp end to it, and it serves the argim to separate different threads if they get tangled. Vishovtin. And together, they were both holding on to this utensil, and they were accomplishing the Sidur Hachutim. So we have the Shasi, the number of chutim that have to be organized, stretched out in the loom, and they have to be separated to make sure that the weaving process is successful. So they take this karkar, and they do this shevet, this kind of shovtim. Then we have a third case. We have two people holding on to a kulmus, which is a quill, the kosvin, and they're writing. Or alternatively, bekana, v'otzio. So they're holding on to an inkwell, and they carry it out together from Rishus HaYach to Rishus HaRabim. In all these cases, yachol shiyu chayofin, would I think that maybe both of them should be chayev? Because insofar as they both participated, there's one mice of both of them. Each one has his participation. Talmud Lomar, basosa. And here, since each one is participating in Malacha, neither of them did a Malacha Shleim on their own, so you can't call it Kula. And therefore, each one is Pot. And now we turn to Tzadi Gimel Amin Aleph. However, in contrast, if they're both holding together onto an eagle shell dvela, and this is a utensil which is called an eagle, and it's used for drisas hata'enim, so you have a cluster of figs that are connected to each other, that are mushed together, if you want to use that term. And by doing this act of drisa, holding on to this eagle, they create some sort of a, almost like a cheese. It's called dvela. and then Votzio L'Rishus HaRabim, and they carried it out from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, or they were holding on to a Korah, a beam, and Votzio L'Rishus HaRabim. These are very, very heavy beams. Neither of them could have done this on his own. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now this is going to be a case of Zayn Yochel v'Zayn Yochel. We're going to have a machlokas about this. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im lo yochel echel lo tzio, if neither of them could carry this out into Rishus HaRabim, so this eagle of Dvela is very heavy, and for sure the beam in the case of the Korah is very heavy. Ishnaim Chayov. Hotziu Shnaim is Chayov. Now they're both operating in tandem. Neither of them could do the Malacha by themselves. Now the Malacha relates Alpidin to both of them. And they're Chayov. Vim Lav. But if either of them could have carried it out on his own, which would be a case of Zeyochel v'Zeyochel. And here's where we saw our Mishnah that said, Astam Mishnah Pturim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afal Pi Shelo Yochel Echad Lotzio, Votziu Shnayim Pturim. Says Rabbi Shimon, even if one of them cannot carry it out himself, before we talked about a case where lo yochel echad lotziu, neither of them have the ability, the power to bring it out. Now, Rav Shimon is expanding this patur even to a case where lo yochel echad lotziu, votziu shnayim paturim. Let's go over this last point and try to explain the machlokas here, al pi pshat, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says that if Zayn Yochel v'Zayn Yochel votziu shnayim chayovin, as opposed to the case where one of them could have done the hotzah on his own, but if neither of them could have accomplished the hotzah on their own, they work in tandem, they're both chayev. And Rabbi Shimon now is arguing against Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Shimon, even in a case where neither of them could carry it out, they're pturim. Shalakach nemar, Pasuk says, ba'asosa, and he did it, yochid shasa chayev, shnaim shasu pturim. So we have a machlokas now between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in the case of Zayin Yochel and Zayin Yochel. B'maiko Miflugi. B'haikra. They're arguing about this pasuk. The pasuk says, as we mentioned earlier, V'yim nefesh achas techta b'shkoga me'am ha'aretz ba'asosa achas mi'mitzvah Hashem asher lo se'aseno. Rabbi Shimon Sovar, t'losa mi'uta k'sivi. There are three mi'utim in this pasuk. The first one is nefesh sechta. In other words, it says nefesh, it doesn't say nefashos. And therefore we're going to darshan that only if one nefesh implements this chait, he's going to be chai, but not two people. And now we have a second mi'ut, achas techta. The pasuk could have said im nefesh techta. The word achas is completely unnecessary. And that's coming to exclude if a person, nefesh achas, and the third mute is basosa techta. The Torah adds the extra word basosa to teach us that if one person as a solo effort violates the Aveir the Chait, but not if there's another individual. And these three miyutim are coming to exclude three different scenarios. Chad le'mu'ute. The first one is coming to exclude the case where two people are carrying mirshus u'shus and ze oker v'ze meniach. One person did the akira and the other person did the hanoch. They're both potter. Chad le'mu'ute. The second miyut is coming to exclude a case. So the second miyut is different than the third miyut. The second miyut excludes a case of zeyachol v'zeyachol. Each one could have done the malach on his own. And the third miyut is coming to exclude the case where neither of them could have done the malach on their own. And that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is only willing to pat you up in the case where each one could have done it on his own. Each one could have done it on his own. And in that case, you're potter, but in a case where none of them could have done it on their own and they need that joint effort, that was the case that Rabbi Yehuda said, you're chayev. And therefore, he has to restructure the mi'utim. And he says, Chad le'mu'ute, the first mi'ut is coming to exclude ze'oker v'zeminyech, as we said earlier. Chad le'mu'ute ze'yachol v'ze'yachol, which means that each one could have done it on his own. But he doesn't have the third mi'ut for the case of ze'ne'yachol v'ze'ne'yachol. That's going to be chayev. Whereas the third mi'ut is coming for the case, to exclude the case of Yochid Shasah B'horas Beznin. Beznin made an error in their judgment, in their verdict, and they were Matir and Isur Torah, which Achayiv Karis, which would be Mechayiv Chatos. And if an individual implements that Chayiv Chatos on his own, and they find out that Beznin made a Tos, then he is Potter from a Chatos. And this is based also on a pasuk that says, "Im kol adas Yisrael yishku v'nelam dover me'niyah kol v'yosu achas mikol mitzvah Hashem asher lo teseh v'yashamo v'no da'ah chatos asher chatu alev v'krivu hakahal par ben bakor l'chatos v'chibra aleim hakoim v'nislach lehem chatos hakol hu." Means that when there was a ras bezdin b'shogeg to violate Issur Torah, and the entire kol or most of the kol violated b'shogeg based on that ara, they bring a par helim dover shel tzibur. But in the case of a yachid, an individual violates the Torah based on a mistaken verdict of bezdin, in such a case there is no chiv at all, and Rabbi Yehuda derives that from a miut here in the parsha of Chatos. Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't darshan that third miut, and therefore he holds that Yochid Shasah B'horas Beznin Chayev. He doesn't have an exclusion for that third case. So to summarize what we've said, we have Machlok Shin Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in the case of Zeina Yochel v'Zeina Yochel. Rabbi Shimon has a miut for that, whereas Rabbi Yehuda does not have a miut. He uses the third miut in order to exclude the case of Yochid Shasah b'Bezdin. The Yochid followed the Horas Bezdin. Now we get to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir doesn't have a p'tur of Shnaim Shasu at all, even in the case of Zeyachol v'Zeyachol, which until now we said both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda poter. So then Rabbi Meir doesn't need a miut in two out of three of Rabbi Shimon's miutim. And Lechora, there are three miyutim. What is he going to use those miyutim for? He could use one for Zeoker v'Zemeiniach. Let's see what happens. Miksiv Nefesh Secheta Achas Techeta Ba'asosa Techeta. In other words, it only says V'im Nefesh Achas Techeta Ba'asosa. So what we have is Nefesh Achas is one miut, and basosa is the second miut. So he only ends up with two miut, and the way he's reading the psukim is tre miut iksiv echad lezeoker v'zemeniach, v'chad lemute yochid shasa boras bezdin. So he's basically on the same page as Rabbi Yehuda, and he also needs one of these miutim for Yochid Basosa Boras Bezdin to teach me that he's not chayev a karmon. He needs another miut for Zeo Kevezeminiach. Omar Mar. Now, early in the sugya, we learned that if you have Shnaim Shahotziu B'Shabbos Mishusiyachl Shusiyachid Zeyachol V'Zeinayachol is L'Divrei HaKol Chayav. So if one of the two has the capacity to carry this out, the other doesn't, then one of them is Chayav. So the Gemara wants to understand Hay Minay U'Mi Chayav, which one of the two is Chayav? According to Rav Chisda, ze sheyachol, the one who could do it on his own, is chayev. And intuitively, that should be the answer. De'i ze she'eino yachol, my ka'ovid. How can you mechayev the person who doesn't have the energy, he doesn't have the strength to bring this out? You can't say that the hotzah was his hotzah. If you want to attribute the hotzah to anybody, attribute it to the one who's yachol. Amalei Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says, surely there's a logical reason to be mechayev the one who's eino yachol as well. Why? To come Messiah behadeh, that he is helping the one who's yachol. Now, it's even though the one who's Yachal could theoretically do it on his own, but he gets an extra boost of help from the other person. And therefore, why do you say that the Messiah is Potter? Amalei, Rav Chisda responds, this is a very famous principle in Shas, Messiah ain't bo mamish. In other words, even though Messiah is not, he doesn't deserve shishi, he's certainly not doing the right thing, but as far as the halacha is concerned, to consider him a violator of the avera, then he's not considered. And therefore, only the one, says Rav Chisda, who is yachol, to whom we can attribute this hotzah, is going to be chayev. Now the Chassam Sofer adds the following comment. He says, mashma, she'af shekach haderech, ein mamish b'maseyu, shel zeh she'eino yachol. V'lo kfi shekasav Rashi b'inyan shnayim yecholim. There's a Rashi back on the previous Amud that seems to indicate, in the case of shnayim yecholim, that maybe it's the derech. The Chassam Sofer says, forget about that Rashi. Even if it's the derech, it's not mamish b'masehu. In other words, the eino yachol, even if it would be the normal custom would be to ask for a siyua, even from someone who's eino yachol, but that's nothing. Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei Derava Afana Nami Tnina. I also have a brisa, or perhaps a mishnah, we'll see in a second, that misayeya ein bo mamish in another context, in the context of what's called tumas medrash of a zav. And once again, misayeya ein bo mamish. And it says in the mishnah in the fourth parak of Zavim, hoye yoshev al gabi amito, the zav is sitting on a couch, the arba talios tachas ragli amita, and there are four garments or cloaks that are underneath, respectively, each one of the four legs of the bed. And now he's somech, he puts his weight on each one of the ragli amita, is kulam tmeos. All four of these cloaks, of these talios, are makabel tumas medrus. Mibnei she'eno yechola lamod al sholosh, because the mita could not stand on three legs. It needs four legs. So each one of the legs cannot carry the mita on its own. It's only when you have all four legs. And therefore, the medrus is on all four legs, so that anything below those four legs of the bed is mekabel tumah. So we see that even though the medrash hazav is al rov hadavar tamei medrash, Rav Shimon mitayer, Rav Shimon holds that even in this case, where each one of the legs cannot hold up the bed by itself, but each one of the legs is considered only a misaya, and the zav is not considered a dores olav. Why? Because each one of the legs is not holding up the weight of the zav. Medrash means holding up the weight of the zav. Now Rabbi Shimon continues, Haya rochev al gabi behema, in a case where you have the four legs of the animal, he's riding, the zav is riding the animal, the arba talios tachas raglia behema, once again, tahoros. And this comment and this addition in the Sefer of the Mishnah is going even according to the Shita of the Tanakama in the Reisha. The Tanakama postulated that all four legs are necessary and they generate a Tumas Medrash Hazav, even in the case of the Mita. But in the case of the Behema, here the Chachamim would agree to Horos. And why is that? Mibneshi Yechola Lamod Al Sholosh. The live animal could hold up its body, its weight, on three legs alone. It doesn't absolutely need four legs. It could lift up one of the legs and still be standing on the other three legs. So it means that in this case, there's no way you could say that the amida of the animal is related to each one of the four aglayim. So, for example, in the case of the mita, there's no way that the mita could possibly be held up without all four legs. And therefore, each one of the legs is participating in this medrash hazav, in carrying the weight of the zav, because all four legs are critical. Mashenkin, in the case of an animal, here we're going to say that you cannot attribute the holding up of the animal, the weight of the animal, to all four legs. So Rava, who quoted this Mishnah, says, "Vamai hamisayeh bahari adodi." This leg is certainly helping out. It certainly has the status of a misayeh. Meaning, it's true that the animal could theoretically lift up one leg and stand on three legs, but there's no question that the fourth leg is a misayeh. So even if it's not critical for the halicha sabhema, but nevertheless it certainly facilitates the halicha. That's why God created four legs for the animal. La mishum damrinan, we must come to the conclusion, therefore, that misayeh ain't bo mamish. Om Rabbi Yehuda mi diskarta li olam emilucha misayeh el yesh bo mamish. So why do you establish that the fourth leg is not necessary and therefore tahoros? If you're going to hold misayeh yesh bo mamish, it seems that Rava's logic is compelling. Shiny hacha di akra la legamre. The fourth leg is different than your classic misayeh, because the animal actually lifts up its leg, its fourth leg, one, whichever one of the four legs, and it's standing on three legs without help from the fourth leg. So again, even though if the animal had not lifted up that fourth leg, there would certainly be a misayeh, and that's yesh bo mamish, But here is a case where the animal is actually lifting up one of its legs, and that leg is not being a mesayas. It's not helping the kviyas here. And therefore, it's not called a mesayas. And in that case, each one of the legs is considered like the fourth leg, and therefore we can be metayer all the talisos that are underneath. Now, the Gemara wants to prove that we should not reject this proof from the Mishnah of Medrash Ragle Habema. In other words, let's consider that each one of the legs would be Nekeres Lagamre. Let's consider it conceptually, I mean. And it's not Misayas L'Acheros. We can say that about each one of the legs. Nevertheless, the Gemara insists that we should be Metame de Talisos Sha'acheros Echbidu Aleihem. Because in any combination, the other legs certainly placed a weight, meaning the weight of the animal, on top of these talisos. The came in the zimnin okra ha, the zimnin okra ha. Sometimes the animal will lift up this leg, and other times the other leg. In other words, we'll never really be able to be certain on any particular leg whether it's the one of the three legs that are carrying the weight of the animal or not. Is therefore a heavy Kizav HaMishapech. We're going to consider this as far as the talisos are concerned. Each one of the talisos that are underneath the legs of the animal, like the din of a mishapech, a zav that is mishapech on different mishkovim. And we're going to have to be metame all these mishkovim misafek medris. And how do we know this? Milo Tnan, we have a mission in the fourth parak of Zavin that says, Zav, Shehaya mutal al-chamisha safsolim, o al-chamesh punda'os, and in this case, li'arkan tmeim, l'rachban tahorim. So we have two cases here. We have safsolim, and we have punda'os. Safsolim are what we call benches, and punda'os is something that's called kisim aruchim lishmiras mos, hanesunim ze betzad ze. So we have like pocketbooks that are very long, and you put money inside of them, and there's one next to the other. Okay, so what do we have here? We have here a case of a safek mishapech aleihem. What does this mean? You have a zav, and he's lying prone upon five benches or upon five money belts. Li arkan, he's lying across the length of these benches or the length of these belts. Tmeim, they're all tame. Now, keep in mind that the money belts were long hollow belts. Coins were placed in these money belts. In our case, there's a whole number of these belts or these benches that are spread out alongside each other on the floor, and Azav rested upon them. It's uncertain, right, Li'arkan, it's uncertain whether the Zav stayed on one bench or one cushion. Perhaps he rolled himself off from one to the other, and he would have lain lengthwise across each of them, in which case he puts the majority of his weight upon each of them. The Brisa states that each bench is going to be considered Tomei. And that's what he calls Tmeim. And this is based on the halacha of Safek. He says, Kevan Shezav mitama mishum medrus bechol pam sheshochev al safsal kise echad sharei nasa kulo es hazav v'tolim sheshochav al kulam pa'amim al zeh pa'amim al zeh. So we assume that at some point or another he probably laid down on another couch or another money belt in this case, which apparently cushions his weight. However, l'rachban tahorim. Why? Because if he lies to the width, then any one of these cushions or pocketbooks is not really carrying the zav, or most of the zav, maybe part of the zav. And here we're not going to be choshesh shenis hapech mirachban li'arkan. In other words, the zav is awake, and he's being very careful. We have no reason to assume that he's going to change his position, and he's going to go from rochav to orach. Because again, in the case of orach, we said they're all tmeim, because then he's resting upon all of them. The rochban, we assume that that they are tahorim because each one of them is not carrying most of the weight on its own. Now that's all in a case where he's awake. But Yashan, if he was sleeping on them, and even though he was at the beginning of his rest, let's say, and he had, let's say, he rested upon them in a way that we're not sure whether it's l'rochban or l'arkan, is that called safek mishapech aleihem. Here we really don't know if maybe he rolled over from the width to the length or the other way around during the course of his sleep. And that's called safek mishapech aleihem b'toch she'naso, during his sleep, mirochban li'arkan. And therefore, in each case, in each couch, we're going to have to apply the principle of safek tameh. And therefore, kulam tmei misafek. In any event, we see very clearly from this Mishnah that a safek midras is we're always going to be tolei b'chumra to be metami them. And therefore, if we go back to the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Midiskratya, who says that in the case of raglei behema, we consider that the regal is akura, if the horse, whatever animal it was, had lifted its leg, it's not misayas klal, and the other three legs are alone carrying the weight of the animal. Why shouldn't we be mitame, based on the Mishnah, mitzad sofik? Now, just like we saw in the Mishnah, that all the talit, right, that in the case where the zav is a sofik and a medrash, we mitame all the different couches. Here too, we should be mitame all the different talisos, misofik. So the fact that the animal sometimes raises a leg, that's not enough, lo sagila, and that's not sufficient explanation to be mitire these different cloaks or talisos. Each leg might have been the one of the three remaining on the ground, which means that there's a tuma of medris misafik. Elalav, the only way that we can judge this din, this psak of tar, is because of the principle mishum d'amrina misayeya ein bo mamish, that we're going to analyze each one of the raglei behema as just being a misayeyas l'aglichasa, because each one of the raglayim is non-crucial. Now Rav Papi is going to bring a different proof in the name of Rava to support Rav Chisda that misayeya ein bo mamish. Amar Rav Papi mishmei de Rava afa na nami tnina. We also have a different Mishnah with regard to Tumas Zav in Medrash. And here we're going to turn to Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. And it's actually the Sefer, the previous Mishnah that we quoted, after we had the din of a Zav who was riding on an animal, and there were four talisos underneath the four aglayim, and they're all tahoros, is Rabbi Yossi Omer, they're not all tahoros, but rather Hasus mitame al yodav. If the Zav was riding a horse, he's mitame the two talisos, which are underneath the two forelegs, because that's called yodav in the language of Yossi. Yodav means the hands, meaning the forelegs on the front of the animal. Hachamar al raglav. If the Zav was riding on a donkey, then he's mitami the two talisos that are on the hind legs. Why? Because Mishe Shemish Enes Hasus al Yodav, a horse puts most of its weight on its forelegs, and therefore the Zav is now adding, by riding on this horse, he's adding his weight to the forelegs, and therefore he's metame anything that's underneath the forelegs betumas medras, as opposed to that which is underneath the hind legs, that he's not metame. But in the case of chamor, is mishanto a raglov, the chamor is putting its weight on the hind legs, and the zav is now adding his weight to the hind legs, so we're metame that which is underneath the hind legs, betumas medras. But what's that? Those talisos which are underneath the forelegs in the case of the chamor are not tame. So Rava asks Mamai, why shouldn't the two talisos that are in the forelegs in the case of the chamor, or in the hind legs in the case of the sus, in other words, even if you can't say that all the weight of the animal is on these two legs or on those two legs, but nevertheless, surely the other two legs are sharing in the weight, they're contributing to the animal's ability, facilitating the animal's ability to stand up on its feet. So why shouldn't we consider it no sel sazav, and he should be metame that which is under all four legs, la mishum damina? We have to conclude, like Rav Chisda said, that misayea ein bo mamish, and that's why it's not considered medrash hazav. Now the Gemara wants to bring another proof that Messiah ain't bo mamish. Omar Avashi, afanan nami tnina. And now we're going to learn about the laws of Avodas Kohen. And we learned in a brisa with regard to Avodas Kohen that if there's a chatzitza, something that's wedged between the feet of the Kohen and the Ritzpas Azora, and the law is that the Kohen, in order for his Havodah to be Ksher, it has to be directly, his feet, his bare feet have to be directly on the ground of the Azorah. It's Rabbi Eliezer Omer, if the Kohen does the Havodah B'migdash, and in this case, Raglo Achas Ala Kli, V'Raglo Achas Ala Ritzpah, he has one leg on top of a utensil, and there's no direct contact between that foot and the Ritzpah Sazor, but the other one is directly on the Ritzpah. Raglo, another case, Raglo Achas Ala Evan, V'Raglo Achas Ala Ritzpah, where he has one leg not on a utensil but on a stone. He always has one, in all these cases, he always has one leg directly on the Ritzpah. Is Roim, we have to kind of shots up, we have to estimate his Amida. Kol she'ili notela cleaviti notela even yochol lamen al raglo ha'achas. If you would remove the utensil on the one leg, or the stone, he would still be able to balance himself and weigh down on the ritzpah. He's not going to fall, then avodasa k'shera. And in this case, it's considered that we don't care about the chatzitza between him and the ritzpah, because he can still stand despite the chatzitza. He can still stand, I mean, on the other leg. But in lav, if you would remove, let's say, the stone or the utensil, he's going to lose his balance. It means that he's putting his weight on both legs. Is then avodasa psula, because we need both legs. We need that the ritzpah is the weight of the Kohen is being held up by the ritzpah, so to speak. That makes it a connection between the Kohen, who's doing his avodah, and the ritzpah. So now the question is, v'amai, even in a case where he can stand on one regal, which is on the ritzpah, if you remove the utensil, but nevertheless, hakam esayea bari adodi. You can't deny that the one that has a chatzitza, is that leg is also contributing to his ability to stand up. La mishum damrinam esayea einbo mamish. And finally, another proof, Omar avina afanana mitnina, kohen shekibel asadam bekarba biyamin. He was makabel adam of the Zri after the Shechita in a Mizrak that's being held in his right hand, which is the hand that's Ksher Lavoda. So even though he's Mekabel Adam of the Korban in his right hand, but Yad Smolo Misayato, his left hand is also helping him, and the Avoda done with his left hand is Psula. Nevertheless, in this case, Avodoso Ksher. The Brisa says that it's fine. Why? And the question is, this is what Ravina is proving, as Amai, Hakam Sayyeh Bahari Adodi. If there's a halacha that Yad Smol Psula, Yad Smol Poselis in Avoda, and if we would assume that Misayeh Yesh Bo Mamish, then his Avoda in this case should be Psula, Lav Mishum Damrina, and it must be that Misayeh Ein Bo Mamish, Shmamina. And that's exactly how the Gemara concludes, based on these various proofs, whether it's from the Kohen Avoda, and he's got a kli on the one of his legs, or the Kohen who's using one of his, he's using his left arm to help him be Mekabel Adam, or we have the proof from the case of the Zav who's riding the horse, and the question is which Talisos are going to become Tomei Midin Medrash Hazav, whether it's the front legs, according if it's a sus, whether it's the back legs, and we're not going to be Mitame those Talisos that are under the other set of legs, even though those legs certainly are Misayeh. So these are all the proofs that Misayeh ain't Bo Mamish, and therefore we come to the conclusion that in the case of Zeh Yochel, Zeh Eino Yochel, it makes sense that the one who could do the Malacha on his own, he's the one who's going to be Chayev. We could identify him as the culprit. He'll bring a Chatos. Whereas the one who's just Misayeh and he's Eino Yochel is Potter. Omar Mar, we had a Brisa back on Daf Tzadi Beis. Zeh yochel, v'zeh yochel, each one of them could do it on his own. And we said that according to all the Tanoim except for one, they're both going to be potur, is Rabbi Meir Mechayev. So Gemara now is a suffix, according to Rabbi Meir, Yiboylehu, in order to Mechayev both of them, in the case where each one of them on his own has the power to be motzi the object, is be'inon shir lezev, shir lezev, dilma b'shir echel kulam. Do we need a shir for each one of them? Let's say the shir of hotzov be a grogeris. So it means that there's a two grogeris hotzov over here. O dilma, even if there's one shir, and the Gemara in Lumdus is really getting profound over here. Why does Reb Meir, how do we understand the definition of Reb Meir that each one is chayev? Do we say that each one is doing a separate malacha, and therefore he's chayev, or do we say that there's one malacha that relates to both of them? And the nafka mina is going to be, do you need two shirim, a double shir, or is one enough? There's another possibility here for a safek. If, let's say, they both do the malacha, and neither of them could do it by himself, and that's a case where if Zeino Yochel v'Zeino Yochel, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Meir that they're Chayev. And once again, we would raise the question as to whether or not we need two Shiurim or one Shiur would be enough in the case of Zeino Yochel v'Zeino Yochel, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara brings the Machlokas now on this question. Rav Chizda, Rav Himnuna, Chad Omar, according to one of the opinions, Shiur l'Zeh, Shiur l'Zeh, you have to have a double Shiur. And Chadom, according to the other opinion, Bishir Echel Kulam, it's enough that there's one Shir, and yet they're all going to be Chayev. Omar Av Papa Mishmei Derava Afanan Nami Tnina. The Gemara wants to bring a proof to the second opinion that all you need is one Shir. And that's from a statement in the name of Rava who brings a brisa in a case of two pa'ulos that were done b'maisa echad, and all you need is one shear. Where is it? Again, we're going back to Zavim, and it's in the fourth parak of Zavim. Zav shayam yoshev al gabi mita, v'arba talisos tachas arba raglia mita, is tmeos v'dei she'ein yochol lamod, ein yochol lamod al sholosh, since the couch could not possibly be held up with three legs, it needs all four legs. Therefore, all the talisos are being considered no sos es azav. You know, there's a tumas medrash over here of carrying the weight of the zav. So Rav asks the following question about my, why do we say the talisos are tmeos, even though in this case the zav did not sit on the mita, there was only one zav. Is liboy shir ziva lazeh, vishir ziva lazeh? Why doesn't the Tana demand a shir ziva? In other words, there should be a weight, sheichabit olav rubo shel zav, right? In order for something to be tummy betumas medris, we need that most of the weight of the zav. If the zav weighs 50 pounds, 50 kilo, then 26 kilo was pressing down on this object that now becomes tummy. And now we have a strange kind of thing, because we need a shear ziva for each one of the talisos. So basically, if we had a mita that would hold up four different zavim, which would correspond to the number of mita of talesos under the raglei mitos, then we would have a perfect shear times four. But we don't require that. Lav mishum damrina, and it must be that we're assuming that shear echad lekulam, that it's considered as if all four legs are holding up the zav, the entire zav, or a rov of the zav. And therefore, this would reflect the shita in the case of Melechas Hotzah Shabbos, that if it's ze eino yochol, what was the case again? Just let's go over it one more time. We're talking about a case of remember, Meir, of Zeyachol v'Zeyachol, each one is chayav, and we only need one shear for both of them. Now the Gemara wants to bring another proof to support that same view. Oh, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Afanan Nami Tnina, from a Mishnah later on in Masechta Shabbos regarding Tzeda. Tzvi shenichnas, a deer goes into a house, Lebayis on Shabbos, on its own. And somebody comes along, v'nol echad es adel sabayis v'funav. So he locks the door in such a way that the animal is trapped. Chayav. The person who locked the door has violated Melechas Tzedah. Now, what if the case would be nol ushnehem? In other words, each one could have done the ne'ila by his own, but instead, they both did it together. So according to this Mishnah, Pturim, they're both potter. However, lo yachol echad linol v'nol ushnayim, if neither of them couldn't have achieved this ne'ila on his own to lock up and trap the animal, but they needed two of them together, chayovim. Says Rav Nachman, v'amai, why is it that if neither of them could lock the door on his own, they need both of them together, they're both chayav, liboy shir tzedol azeh v'shir tzedol azeh, why don't we require that there are two deers that ran into the house, so that each one of these two participants, in this case of zeyachol v'zeyachol, would be chayav? Or alternatively, if it's ze eino yochol v'ze eino yochol, according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? If it's ze yochol v'ze yochol, then we have Rabbi Meir. If it's ze eino yochol v'ze eino yochol, we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, of course, but Rabbi Yehuda as well. So whichever way you want to slice the cake, if they're both going to be chayef at seder, this joint effort, we should need a shear for each one of them, a tzvi for each one of them. La mishum damrina, we have to therefore conclude that shear echel kulam. Now we have another proof. Amar avina afanan nami tnina, I have a brisa. Hashutofim shegonvu, two partners steal an animal, vitovchu, and they shecht it together. Chayovin, they're both going to be chayiv dal vehei, vamai, liboy shir tvichol azeh, shir tvichol azeh. In other words, when they steal and shecht the animal together, we should require two animals. Each one is going to be chayiv for his participation in the shechita, then we need an animal for each one of them. La mishum damrin, and again we prove that shir echel kulam. Another proof. The Amar Rav Ashi afana nami tninai v'braisa. Shnayim shahotziu kona shel gardi. So this is kind of a reed that is used in the process of weaving. It's a kona shel gardi. And two of them together carry this kona from one rishus to another. Chayovin. So Rav Ashi says, "Vamai liboy shir hotzol azeh v'shir hotzol azeh." We don't have a shir of hotzol for each one of them. Is lab mishum de'aminon shir echad lekulam? Again, what exactly is the shir of a kana gardi? The Gemara is going to pick that up a little bit later. Amale Rav Acha brei derav l'Rav Ashi. How do you know for sure that this kana of the gardi does not have enough of a shear for kol echad v'echad? Dilma, maybe the case is in that brisa. The islay k'day levashel beitza kal lezeh, u'k'day levashel beitza kal lezeh. Maybe the case is where the size of this reed is such that if you would be chayef otzos eitzim lahasaka, which the shear of which is k'day levashel beitz akala, maybe there's enough in the shear of this, in the size, the quantity of this particular kona gardi, such that it fulfills the double requirement of a double shear of hotzas eitzim lasaka. You have enough for a beitz akala lezeh and a beitz akala lezeh. So what proof do you have? And basically what Rav Ach is holding here is that even in the shear of kona gardi, again, he mentions kona gardi, but, rak kona zeh derech olam l'taltel b'shnayim. He mentions this case because it's very common, because this is a very heavy kona gardi, that two people would be needed to carry it together. That's why he doesn't use the word kona. If he were to use this kona as firewood, would he have enough fuel to cook not just one small egg, but even two small eggs? So Rav Ashi responds, "Imkain, if we're talking about a case where the hotzah was that shear, where it was enough to use as fuel and cook two different eggs, is lishmein on kana of the alma. The Tana should have told me this din in the kana, any sort of kana which is used as wood for hasaka, for fuel for his fire, and that's the shear. And you could say, well, there's enough for shear for this and this. Maishna de gardi. Why does the Tana of this brisa mention this case of a kana gardi dafka? The shear of a kana of a gardi is k'day larog beged echad, that you can use this in the process of weaving and create one beged. And since it's omid l'kach, then it doesn't have more than a shear of one hotzah. And the fact that both are chayav for this hotzah, we see that shear echel l'kulam. So Rav Ach is not impressed by this logic. V'dilma de'ispe k'dei larog mi mapa l'zeh u'k'dei larog mapa l'zeh. It's possible that this kana of gardi has the shear of ariga and double the shear. It has enough of a shear that you can weave one mapa, and you could weave even another mapa. In other words, we're talking about a kana that's very, very large and it's very heavy, and it means that each one of them cannot carry this rod, this kana out, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda would also agree, since the case of Zeni Yochel, Zeni Yochel, that you're both chayev. So maybe we're talking about a case of Kedei Larog Mapel Azeh, Umapel Azeh, and this weaver's reed has a length to weave, let's say, a mapa is usually a covering, we'll call it a towel if you like, and he could weave another towel for this one. And perhaps this weaver's rod was particularly large, capable of pressing two cloth simultaneously, and the Bryce would be teaching us that although this reed is usually used for just one cloth, still, since it can be used for two cloths, therefore it's considered two measures. And that's Rav Acha's how he deflects this raya. So Rav Ashi doesn't respond to this argument, and therefore the Gemara concludes Elamihol Lekalamishmamin. I know it's from this brisa about the Kaneshel Gardi, where two people are carrying it out. We can't draw any conclusions. It could be that there is a shear for both of them. But in any event, we have enough of the other sources, the other Mishnahis, the Brises as a proof. Now, once the Gemara mentions Hotzas Kanish Al Gardi, the Gemara quotes another Brisa, Tani Tana Kami Rav Nachman, Shnaim Shahotziu Kanish Al Gardi Pturim, V'Rabbi Shimon Mechayev. So the Gemara asks, what's going on here? Klapi Laya. Something got messed up over here. It should be the opposite. Rabbi Shimon is the one who's poter, right? That's Rabbi Shimon Shita and Shnaim Shasu Malacha Achas Biyachad. In all cases, Rabbi Shimon holds your poter. Ela Ema, therefore, we should change the girsa of this brisa, turn around the names, and it should be Shnaim Shotziu Kanesh Al Gardi Chayovim, Rabbi Shimon poter. And again, if we're talking about a case of a very, very heavy kana, then even Rabbi Yehuda would say Yechayev, because it's Zeni Yochel v'Zeni Yochel, and Rabbi Yehuda says Yechayev in that case. Or, alternative, if it's not such a heavy one, then we might have a case of Zei Yochel v'Zei Yochel, and we're reflecting in this Brisa the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And this leads us to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Gimel, Amid Beis. Emir Tzeshem will pick that up tomorrow.